And as we close up our Friday, as we do every Friday, we bring in our good friend Dan Klaskins. He's the host of the Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He has the Get Sports Info podcast, and he's also a ranker writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy. He does it all when it comes to fantasy sports. We love having him on. We love his great insight as he gets us ready for this weekend's football game. So, Dan, how you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I am fired up after that game last night.
No
kidding. I felt like I was watching EA Sports simulation of what football's like, but from a fantasy player's perspective, it couldn't have gotten much better, of course, unless you were going against Jared Goff.
Well, here, this is a general question I had. So much when I'm setting a lineup, I also look at, and I think this is the smart thing to do, is look at the opposing's defense. And therefore, if I see a quarterback going up that's a really good defense, I might, even though he's a good quarterback, I might not choose him because of that D. Well, last night you had two quarterbacks going up against two supposedly better defenses in the league, and Goff and Cousins were just rattling up points like crazy. So how much should you put an opposing defense in your mind when you're setting your lineup, especially for quarterbacks?
Well, I think it goes even, I mean, obviously you put all those parameters into your lineup decisions. And in terms of defense, I mean, it even goes beyond that now, Randy, especially in Pro Football Focus, where we closely examine the wide receiver cornerback matchups and, you know, not just team matchups, but player who we expect to be on players and stuff. And so good stuff there. But, you know, looking at the Rams and the Vikings, and that's funny, I had a Twitter question come in as you guys literally was getting on the phone with you guys about it, the time to give up on the Vikings defense. I mean, these are two explosive offenses, too. In the Vikings case, the fact that they had to travel across the country nearly 2,000 miles there and play on these short days. I think injuries also were a factor here, but I don't think I'm as alarmed about the defenses as I am amazed about the offenses in this one. Coming into this matchup, the Rams and the Vikings, from a fantasy defensive perspective here, you're talking about two of the top six scoring defenses out there through 3 weeks. I don't think Minnesota's the elite unit that we saw a year ago, particularly with their injuries, but still a fantasy defense that is going to be a good bet in your lineup more weeks than not.
I'm going to ask you a question regarding a team that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the Green Bay Packers, and the running back situation. Aaron Jones comes off that suspension, and he looked really good last week against Washington. And everybody talks about he probably being the best running back of their stable. And yet Jamal Williams played fairly well, and Mike McCarthy loves Ty Montgomery. So when do you jump on the Aaron Jones bandwagon, or do you stay away because they're probably going to be sharing carries, and it might not be very good for you to have any of those guys as far as points are concerned on a fantasy team?
I think if you look around the league, you just described many backfields to where teams are getting into more specialized roles. So I'm not as scared away about the idea of the committee approach here. I think the fact that there are three viable options will keep any of these guys from being just weekly lock-ins in your lineup. Aaron Jones was a combine freak. I mean, some of the numbers and metrics he put up there were eye-popping. So there's no doubt that he has that breakaway talent that could put up some big fantasy numbers on just a few plays. But Jamal Williams is a better pass blocker, more typical guy in the offense. He didn't really do a lot those first couple games to sort of pull away from this. So he's actually declined a little bit on my rest of the season ranks, but I think he's going to be on the field quite a bit still. So Jones, probably a guy that I think has a slightly higher upside, but honestly, I don't view any of these guys as top 30 options rest of the season, and mostly bye-week fillers and running back depth at this point. Now, if an injury were to occur, you know, if that backfield of three quickly becomes two, it could definitely change, and one of these guys could rise up. And there's no questioning the upside play if you're looking for that to stash on your bench is Aaron Jones.
I don't know what to make of running backs. I mean, is Matt Breda and Adrian Peterson going to keep it up? And then Christian McCaffrey, you know, finally had a huge game last week, but I don't know if that means he's going to be a keep it up too. What do you think of some of the top running backs this year? Are they going to stay among the top running backs?
Well, you hit on a few different things right there. I mean, there are certainly some fluky things. As each week of the season progresses, I really feel like we get a better pulse of what's trend and what's mirage here. But I would say in terms of Christian McCaffrey, I mean, they've talked up the workload there. He is on a bye this week, as are the Washington Redskins. So the Panthers and the Redskins both sitting out as the bye weeks begin around the league. But McCaffrey has been unbelievable, not just a PPR guy anymore. But, you know, you mentioned a few other names, Matt Breida included. We'll see what the Jimmy Garoppolo impact has. It's a fluid position. That's the takeaway as a whole here. I do still love the guys that you can count on for those weekly touches, and that's why your Gurleys and your Kamaras and your Melvin Gordons and your Saquon Barkleys and even your Carlos Hyde. Here's a real sleeper name to add onto this list, but if we're talking about volume, volume is there, and Hyde's one of the most volume backs in this league through 3 weeks. So who's getting the touches? You got to have the ball in your hands to put up statistics.
Sure, right, but can they keep giving Hyde the ball that much when he's averaging 3.3 yards a carry?
Well, I mean, the sample size is small. We haven't seen any development out of Nick Chubb. So I don't think Chubb's ready to be a regular contributor in this offense, and I think the Browns realize that as well. What's pretty mind-boggling to me is how little that Todd Haley has incorporated Duke Johnson. He's been such a viable piece of this passing game. Now, part of that's the addition of Jarvis Landry, but I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he's a mortal lock for 15-plus touches a week at this point. And the optimism that centered and circled around this Browns team this offseason was derailed and slowed up a little bit by Tyrod Taylor. But Baker Mayfield coming in here gives this offense an attitude, and they have the weapon. So I'm optimistic that Carlos Hyde could still definitely finish. I don't know if I'm ready to call him a top 10 running back, but a weekly starting reliable option with one of the higher floors in all of football.
Dan, I want to talk about two of really the top waiver wire ads this past week in wide receivers, Tyler Boyd from your Cincinnati Bengals and rookie wide receiver Calvin Ridley, who's actually received a few more targets than Julio Jones these past 2 weeks. What's your take on those two guys going forward and their upside this year?
Well, I mean, both of them have a lot of upside, I think, going forward. Ridley, obviously a rookie. I still think there are some growing pains there. The matchups and schedule's been very friendly to Atlanta. I think over time, especially when they get out of the friendly confines playing indoors, you know, there's some things there I still question. So I think he's being a little overhyped right now. Clearly a great waiver wire claim this week, but I don't know if I'm counting on him each week. I'm not certainly counting on Boyd either. I do think Boyd has a better setup here, though, because John Ross, the Bengals' second-year pick, a guy they spent the number 9 pick on in the 2017 draft. It's just not clicking for this guy. And he's shown some flashes here. The speed is unquestionably one-of-a-kind speed here, but I don't think he's ready to contribute. And in his third season, I definitely believe that Tyler Boyd is ready to really sort of break out here. So I like both of these guys long-term. I think Boyd's been in the league a few more years, so I think the weekly consistency might be there in his favor. Calvin Ridley, a great play, as is Tyler Boyd, as those two teams are set to match up here in Atlanta on Sunday. And a total now up to 51.5 between the Falcons and the Bengals.
You know, Jordan Howard only has one touchdown this year, but with the way that he's receiving the ball, and I was thinking if the Bears' offense ever gets untracked, he could really move up the running back charts. I was wondering what you think about him.
I'm a big fan of Jordan Howard, and we go back to the whole volume thing we were talking about there with Carlos Hyde. I think it's there for him as well. And yeah, the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky's just in his second season here. So I think that in terms of the growth, it's going to take some time, and they have to be patient. The schedule, too, I think will also favor that. I mean, especially as you get into some of these more divisional matchups where, let's face it, the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers, these are teams that can put points on the scoreboard too. So I like Jordan Howard. I think he's a guy right now that some owners are getting a little frustrated in, because especially after last week's performance. But I would buy low on him, because I think when the dust settles, you're talking about back-end top 10 fantasy running back.
Dan, let's do as we do every week. I want to kind of round on the three key positions, quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. Give us your must starts and a couple of your benched guys, or guys that probably should be sitting down this week.
Yeah, let's start a quarterback there. I think Matthew Stafford is a guy that we're going to bench this week, because the Cowboys, as bad as their offense has been, their defense has been pretty spectacular, especially against quarterbacks. Every quarterback to face them so far this season has been QB14 or lower. They haven't allowed a top 12 fantasy day to a quarterback since Thanksgiving last year. So Stafford, I don't know. It just hasn't looked like it's all there for him. So we're going to sit him. I really obviously like Matt Ryan this week. Carson Wentz think he's ready to put back in your starting lineup there against Tennessee. And we talked a little bit about Baker Mayfield as a guy at running back. David Johnson, I'm sticking with him, fellas. I know people are, you know, abandoning ship, and it could still be a little rough here, but you're not going to drop a guy completely out of your lineup now. And Sony Michel with the Patriots, I think he is primed for a huge opportunity with Rex Burkhead being out. So I'm endorsing him in lineups. And, you know, we're going to continue to stay away. You want to talk about a situation to stay away from. How about the Colts running backs? Mm-hmm. Marlon Mack, is he going to play? Naheem Hines, Jordan Wilkins, as a group, as an entire team through three games, 290 total yards on 77 touches. They haven't had a player get to 65 total yards in any game at that position. And then, you know, wide receiver, if you want a sleeper receiver for this week, I know I've talked about him on here before, but Antonio Callaway, I think, is with Baker Mayfield taking over in Oakland here, in for a breakout. He was targeted 10 times last week, and I think this week, with Josh Gordon being out, he's the guy. So I'm all in on him. I'm a little reluctant to endorse any Ravens or Steelers players. I think that game could be a little lower scoring. Now, obviously, you're starting Brown and Connor and the guys you normally would, Juju Smith-Schuster, but you know, some of them ancillary pieces. Let's temper our expectations a little bit.
You know, Dan, we talk about receivers a little bit here. I think a guy we had to bring up is Josh Gordon, who, again, is questionable for today or for tomorrow's game or Sunday's game, excuse me, so he might not even play. But trying to click in that offense, we'll see how it's going. I mean, a lot of owners own Josh Gordon. No one's dropped him just yet because the upside is so high with Tom Brady throwing him the ball. I mean, what's your take on Josh Gordon going forward? What do you think his upside is with the New England Patriots?
Well, I mean, the upside's been there with Gordon since we've seen him on the field, you know, back in 2013. But will it ever come to fruition is anybody's guess. I don't even know if the Patriots know that. That said, if he's on your fantasy roster at this point, you need to just sort of wait it out. I'm not putting him in a lineup until I actually see him do something. I do think that New England could sure use him. They only had three active wide receivers a week ago. Chris Hogan is struggling now. Julian Edelman's coming back next week. I do think that that will help some things out. But I'm not going to cut him. Certainly not going to cut him unless I actually get desperate and just need the spot with buys or injuries. But I'm also not going to put him into my starting lineup until he actually does something and let him play his way. And hopefully that happens. You know what? I don't even have a lot of investment in my fantasy teams in Josh Gordon, nor am I a Patriots fan here. But at the end of the day, man, I just want to see the guy, like, sort of do well here and, you know, fight, overcome his demons. So I'm rooting for Josh Gordon. So I'm hoping it works out for him.
Well, great stuff again, Dan, as always. It's Dan Claskins, host of Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. You can catch him there. You can check out his Get Sports Info podcast. And, of course, go to Pro Football Focus Fantasy. And, of course, and to get all this stuff, too, you can just go to him on Twitter at Dan Claskins, at DanClasGens, and get all the information you need and follow it all the way through, because I know it's going to be changed as the days go along, and the rest of the day today, Saturday, all the way up to when you have to have your lineups in on Sunday. So, Dan, thanks again. Great stuff, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Oh, I appreciate it, fellas. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy those games.